Well, great to gather together with you this morning. Just awesome to be able to worship the Lord together and now see what He would have for us as we come to the Word together. But we do want to make sure we take time just to welcome you. As Tim mentioned, we have a couple of awesome, busy weeks coming up as we move towards Resurrection Sunday and the presentation next week, along with our Palm Sunday gathering in the morning and all. And just so much going on, so jump on board and don't miss out the opportunity to celebrate our risen Lord. Well, let's see what God would have for us this morning as we continue now in the study of God's Word together. To help us study, the ushers are coming down the aisle to make sure you have a Bible. If you need one, just raise your hand. And for all of us, let's turn to Joshua chapter 3 now. Joshua chapter 3, as we continue our journey with these children of Israel. Joshua chapter 3. The time has come for the children of Israel to finally cross the Jordan. Been a long time coming, all those years in the wilderness, and now they've been camped here a little ways from the Jordan for a while. They are east of the Jordan River, but it's finally time for them to enter into that land that God has promised them from so long ago. But this will be no ordinary river crossing, as we're about to see. What God does here, what we're about to look at, this sets the stage for the life that He has for them once they're in the land. You see, there are lessons of faith here that they and we need to learn if we're going to experience all God has for us. This is such an awesome, awesome portion of Scripture, so rich for our growth and edification and all. I'm actually going to jump into the end of the chapter a ways on into it. Then we'll go back and kind of catch up to that, but I want to kind of get a sense of where we're going here. I think that'll help us. So go to Joshua 3, verse 14. Go to Joshua 3, verse 14. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. So much wrapped up in this. As I said, this is no ordinary river crossing, and there's so many lessons here for them and for us. I've called our time together this morning, and I hope it'll make sense why by the time we get to the end of our time. I've called our time together this morning, happy are the people who have wet feet. Let's pray. Father, it's our heart's desire as we gather together this morning to first and foremost glorify You. For You are worthy of praise, all honor, all praise, all worship. So Lord, have Your way in our midst in this time. And Lord, as we consider now this crossing of the Jordan, Father, I can't help but wonder if it isn't a crossing Jordan day for someone here. Perhaps for a number of people this morning, Lord, a time to confront that which has gotten in Your way, that which has blocked us from Your work in our lives. Lord, let it be a crossing Jordan day for anybody that needs to be. We know that's Your calling, that's Your desire for us. Now, Lord, look to us. You know our weakness, You know our struggles, but thank You, because the victory is in You. Speak, we pray, Lord. Lift off all distractions and help us to hear what You'd say. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned, to really lay hold of what I believe the Lord has for us in all this, we need to go back to the beginning of the chapter. So go back to chapter 3, verse 1 here. We're in Joshua 3, verse 1. Where it says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. Now we're going to pause there for just a moment to begin to kind of set the table for us this morning. we had seen the children of Israel come to the wilderness, those 40 years of wandering. They'd made their way up now to where they're just east of the Jordan River. But here we see they were camped in a place called Acacia Grove, which was really not right up against the banks of the Jordan, but a little ways from that. But they're still on the east side of the Jordan. On the west side of the Jordan is, of course, that promised land. But right now they're camped at Acacia Grove. Well, it's time now to move on across the Jordan. So the Lord has Joshua move the people. And they move now from where they've been, there in Acacia Grove. They move to where now they come up right to the banks of the Jordan River. The right on the edge of the Jordan, it says. But now they stop and they camp there for 3 days. Why not just bust on across? Because God has something for them and us in this. They sit there and they look out across the Jordan River. Now, it was no small obstacle at this point. As you read later in verse 15, it overflows at this time of the year. Now, I have heard and read different commentaries on how big the river might have been at this point. You can't judge what it would look like then by the Jordan River today. The Jordan River today is very small because they use so much of it up above this to water the land now. They draw so much of their water supply from the Sea of Galilee and all, so it's much smaller now. But back in those days, you didn't have all the water control districts, and they weren't doing all the stuff they do with the water now. And so it's overflowing its banks. The point is, it's no small stream at this point. It's wide, it's deep, and it's fast moving, is the idea. Now, at this point, I'd like to remind us all of something. In Scripture, crossing the Jordan River does not represent death. It doesn't speak, it's not speaking of when we die and go to heaven. But in Scripture, rather, crossing the Jordan River represents crossing into that life that God has for His children. It represents coming into the Spirit-led life. It represents coming into that life of living in the promises of what God has for us. Coming out of the dry wilderness and into all God has for us. That's what the Jordan River represents. It's the surrendered life. And it's the life that will glorify God. But now think about it. For 3 days, they sit there and stare at that river. Now remember, it's not just a few people. Yeah, maybe a couple of spies, you know, earlier they had a couple of spies that got across the river and checked out the land. A couple of spies have to make it across. But now they are a large group of people. I've read estimates of a couple of million people or more. You have all the men, but not just the men. You have the women. You have the children. You have all their herds and flocks and all. You have all their household goods. They sit there and look at this river. It's overflowing their banks, meaning it's up in all the bushes and the trees and everything else. And they look at it, and naturally the question we brought up is, how in the world are we going to get across that river? They look at the obstacle of the Jordan River, and the response could have very well been, man, how am I supposed to get from here to where God would have us to be? How about us? We hear that God has this life of fullness and blessing and promise for us, a Spirit-led life, but we look at what's between us and that, and we might very well come up with the same question. How in the world am I going to get from where I'm at to that life? There are all these things in the way, all these obstacles that I cannot overcome. How will I ever come into all God has for me? We think somehow that it's up to us, that we've got to be good enough to earn that place of Spirit-filled life, the place of experiencing all of His blessings and promises. We think that somehow we have to earn it. And we know our tendency to fail. We know that our best shot, our best effort, won't hack it. So how are we going to get from where we are into that Spirit-filled life? We think of our past, we think of our failures, and we're just left sitting on the eastern shore of the Jordan. How can we ever enter into all God has for us, is our question. That's why it's so important and why we need to learn from how they get across, or more accurately, how God gets them across, and what their and our part is in all of this. Let's press on now. Verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Now they begin to move out, to move from this eastern side, to cross the Jordan into the land that represents all God has for them. Notice some key parts of how all this is going to happen, how they enter into the land that God has for them. The first thing we need to notice is in verse 5. Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves. Now, this isn't that we forgive ourselves and cleanse ourselves of our own sin. Only Christ can do that. Only the receiving of what he did on the cross can do that. No, the word sanctify yourself here, perhaps if you have a study Bible, it's got some other words there, consecrate yourself or something like that it might say. But what it means is it means be set apart. The word holy, when applied to us, means be a set apart people. What does that mean? It means come out from the junk of this world. Quit being about and looking to this world, its ways, your past, the old ways of thinking. If you're going to come into all God has for you, part of that will be coming out of the old stuff. So be set apart from that stuff is the first step for them and for us in terms of coming into all God has. And notice what he says. In doing that, as you go forward, that's how you're going to see what? God do great wonders amongst us. So you must come out of that stuff. They will not be able to keep one foot on the eastern shore and still expect to put the other foot on the western shore. It won't work. But some people want to do that, huh? Lord, I want all you have for me, Lord, but I'd like to keep some of this other stuff in my life. I kind of would like to still be about these things and go do that stuff. I know you say I shouldn't and that it's destructive to me and it's far less than your best, but Lord, I'd like to kind of put one foot in the old life while I put another foot in the new. Won't work. You can't cross the river that way. What's the old saying? You keep one foot on the dock and the other foot in the boat when it leaves. You're going to be in the water. You've got to leave the one if you're going to experience the other. You must be set apart from it. Come out of that old stuff. And believe, God's got better for us. So the first thing is be set apart people. If you're going to move into all God has for you, come out of all that old stuff. Secondly, as we read through this chapter, I won't read through all of it. Time won't allow us. I'm going to paraphrase some things here in a moment or kind of summarize it, but if you were to take time to read this chapter, you would see that a whole lot of this chapter revolves around the Ark of the Covenant. We saw in verse 3 where the instruction was that the Ark of the Covenant would be going before the people. And when they see it, they're to follow it. And verse 6 says, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over. And so if you count it, there are at least 10 direct references to the Ark of the Covenant in this chapter. That's because a lot of this rotates around that. What does the Ark represent? Remember, the Ark was that box, if you will, contained the Ten Commandments and all, overlaid with gold and all. And on top of it, of course, was the mercy seat. And what does all that represent? The Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence with his people. It represented how they would have access to God. It represented his mercy towards them. It had the law in there, but then covered by the mercy seat. And so the ark represented God's presence and how they could approach him and dwell with him. It represented his presence. Now notice that before they moved out, the ark representing God's presence was with them and was going to go before them. God's presence with them and preceding them. Now, you'll remember it said, he said, stand back. He says, now make sure you leave a pretty good distance between you and the ark. Now, there's a lot of reasons maybe for that, but for right now, I'd just like to bring up one. If all the people crowd up next to the ark, about 10 of them would be able to see it. You ever been in a really large gathering, and you're somewhere near the middle or back of that? What's going on? I don't know. I can't see a thing. Me neither. So he says, everybody stand back. What's one result of that? They can all see the ark. They can all be aware of that which pointed to God's presence. Everyone was to have a clear personal view of the ark. Everyone was to have an awareness of God's presence with them and leading them. It was then and only then that the impossibility of crossing the river would be overcome. They had to have a clear view, a personal view of God. So it is for us. We cannot get through to the Spirit-led life out of the old self-dominated life unless each one of us has a clear personal view of Jesus. First things first, of course, this is being spoken to believers. You can't come into all God has until you know him. So first you must receive Christ as Savior. Receive that work of the cross, the shedding of the blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But having done that now, if we're going to move into all he has for us, we must keep a clear view of him. If we're going to go forward in faith, it has to be faith in him. Our hearts, our eyes must have Jesus fully in view if we're going to come into this land that God has for us, this place of the Spirit-filled life. So what does all this teach us? It's in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that he gained the victory that is ours to walk in now. We are saved by faith, nothing we do on our own. But if I'd ask you if you're saved and you answer with a biblical understanding, you'll understand we're saved by faith. It's by grace we're saved. And faith is what ushers it into our life. Well, in that same way, it's going to be faith that ushers into my life his continued work. That's how we appropriate the promises. That's how the Spirit-filled life is going to happen. So it's the victory he gained on the cross that we need to keep in mind. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over our great soul enemy. That's how we enter, by faith in Jesus and what he has done for us. The passage through the Jordan involves facing the impossibility of our own efforts ever bringing us into all God has for us. We don't experience what God would have for us because we're basically good people, we've worked really hard, we're so cute, we're so smart, we go to church all the time, we pray, have the right friends, dress right. All those things, they do not bring us into the promised land of God's fullness, this fullness of the Spirit, this life of experiencing his promises. That's not what does it. All those things don't do it. It's following these same steps pointed out to here. Jesus declared in Matthew 16:24, he said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What do you think of this rhetorical, please, not to be answered out loud, but just to keep us thinking about all of this. What do you think of when you hear that? That if you want to follow him, remember he's going somewhere. And if you want to follow him, first of all, he says, deny yourself. Now, what do you think of that? Deny myself. It probably means that I have to skip that burger I was planning on for lunch. You know, I'll just go hungry, or I'll just have a couple crackers. I'll deny myself. Well, that's not the idea. See, we think of that way sometimes. Like, well, I'll just have to be so, you know. To deny yourself is to quit looking to self. It's to get self out of the driver's seat of your life. It's to quit looking to the old ways of living, your own wisdom, your own strength. It's to bail on all that now. Deny yourself. No longer looking to yourself is the idea. So the first step is deny yourself. Take up your cross, remembering it's through the cross that we're saved, and it's by that atoning work that we know Him. It's in Him. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Me. See, they follow the ark. We follow our ark, Jesus Christ. For He is God, and it's His presence, and it's through what He did on the cross that we have His presence, that we have fellowship with Him. He is our ark. And I want to follow Him into all He has for me. What's my part in it? What's your part? Deny yourself. Quit looking to self. Quit looking to your reasoning, your understanding. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Then follow. And do you see how this totally correlates to what's being said here? He began by saying what? Sanctify yourself. Be set apart. That's equivalent to deny self. Don't trust in yourself anymore. So it's the same thing. Instead, look unto Him. The ark of our salvation. Look unto Jesus. It's a time for you to confront your Jordan. This morning, you're going to have the opportunity to do that. It's a time for you to confront what keeps you from a full surrender to all God would have for you. The call is to abandon all self-effort and look in faith unto Jesus. Trust that He knows better, that He's got better. Or will you choose to stay on the east side of the Jordan? Saved, but far short of all God would have for you. Saved, but still all about you, doing your way and struggling. And, you know, too often I run into believers that, in essence, they're choosing to stay on the east side of the Jordan, and they wonder why they're not walking in all God has for them. When God in His love would say, come on, come into all I have. Come into this Spirit-filled life. You will never regret it. Well, let me just summarize from verses 7 through verse 13 here. Lord tells Joshua, okay, I'm going to begin to exalt you today in the eyes of Israel for the purpose of knowing that just as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you, Joshua. And they need to see that and know that. I'm going to use you to lead the people. And he tells them, you're going to tell the priests to get to going and that they're to go stand in the Jordan River as they carry the ark. So Joshua then tells all the children, come here, I want you to hear the words of the Lord. And he begins to share with them, this is what God's plan is, how you're going to do this thing. The ark's going to move out, they're going to go stand in the water, and we're going to go on through. So basically he sets that before them. Now, having summarized that middle portion of the chapter, I'd like to just point out a few things here. First of all, look at verse 7 with me. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Please hear this out. This idea of confronting your Jordan, that which whatever is an obstacle to experiencing all God would have for you, this is not name it and claim it. What they are doing is in response to God's clear instructions to them. They didn't come up with this on their own and ask God to rubber stamp it. Oh, we're going to go across now, God. You better make a way. Nope. Formula for problems. You don't want to go that way. No, what they're doing is we need to see they are clearly listening to and then responding to His clear direction. This isn't a formula for getting our will done. Make sure you hear that today when you leave and think about these things. This is to be our response to God's clear calling. The Spirit-filled life is what He desires for us. There's no doubt about that. He wants us to live in that place of experiencing His promises, the results of His presence, His power in our lives. That is His calling for us. So as we move forward here, we're not making this up. It's a response to Him. But once God has spoken, once He is called, then we have a choice to make. Will we move into that? Will we let Him do that in our lives? So it's so important to understand that living in His promises is what He designed for us to experience. Now, I just want to assure you, whatever God has up ahead, and yes, there's going to be some battles and all up ahead for them. There's still the Jerichos and places that they'll come up against. They need to get victories in the land. But be assured of this. Whatever, as He begins to lead us and guide us in all this, it's going to be far better than life on the east side of the Jordan. Far better. Now, unfortunately, too often we doubt that. We struggle with it. We don't see how He can do it. And so we say, you know, I got to do things my way. Thank You for saving me, Lord. But, Lord, I got plans. And so what we do, in essence, is we say, Lord, thank You for saving me. But Lord, I got my plan. I'm going to get my degree and get this job. And I'm going to get married, have a house, have kids, car. We have all these plans. Lord, can't we just do it that way? Lord, if I go the other side of the river, I know You're going to send me to Africa. I just know You're going to make a missionary out of me, and I hate bugs. See, we start reasoning that. And so we settle for the east side of Jordan. Please be assured, whatever God has on that west side, that side of is far better than we could ever come up with. And then I want to point out something else here in this section I just summarized. Look at verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. As they now come to cross the Jordan, God demonstrates His presence and His provision by telling them that He's going to work this miracle. And how will it be performed? When the priest carrying the ark put their feet in the water, the waters will then part. But it will take faith. They must get their feet wet if they're going to experience this work of God. They must put their feet in the river first. That brings us to our third key part in this. I said, first, deny yourself. Be set apart was the idea. Secondly, remember the ark. Remember the presence of God. Look unto Jesus if we're going to go through those obstacles to all God has for us. And thirdly, there has to be a step of faith. That's just how it is. There must be a step of faith. That trust factor has to be going on. We choose to obey God, and then He empowers us. He gives us the victory then. He opens the waters then. But God is trying to develop a walk of faith in us because that's what we'll need for this life. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. I don't know how long they stood there in the water. You know, they could have walked out there, cameras watching. You know, I don't know. Maybe it happened right away. It could have been a long time. Until it started, water started piling up. But they had to get their feet wet. We want the waters to part first. Then, even then, we decide, now I'll decide if I'm going to go through. Thank You, God. Now I'll evaluate Your plan. Now I'll evaluate. I see now. He says, no, not going to go that way. You know, we're going to settle some issues about who I am in your life. We're going to settle some issues about you trusting my sufficiency, my power, my plan. Get your feet into the water. You know, it's going to tell us later on that after the waters pile up, that they're to continue out to the middle, then the people carrying the ark, they're to stop while all the other people just go by. And then when all the people are by and all the kids and all the herds, then they continue on. Now think about that. They're standing out there and there's the big wall of water. And if that should come down, we're in big trouble. But they don't. They just stand there. They don't run for it. They just stand there. But think of the faith involved in all this. Faith stepping into it. Faith going through it. Trusting God. He's settling some issues for them and for us. The people of Israel saw the desired land on the other side of the Jordan. Now, I don't know how wide it was at this point. They say it in those days was really deep and wide. No, I don't know. But here they are on the east side. Over there is where they want to go. That's the land of promise. They can see where they want, but there's this obstacle in front of them. Now, yes, in that land, there's still battles. We'll be studying those up ahead, Lord willing. We're not saying that. Again, that's not why it's not heaven. There are no battles in heaven like that. But it is the promised land. It's the land of walking in all He has for us. So there's that land. But between them and this land, there stands the Jordan. So I ask you, does that describe you this morning? You see the possibilities of the Spirit-filled life. Something inside you resonates when you hear that. You recognize, Lord, there's those empty places, those struggling places. But yes, I want to commend all you have. I see others that do that. I see them walking in it, and not that their lives are problem-free, but I see the peace and the joy they have, and I just see them experiencing your work, and I want that. So you see that. You see this promise of a life lived in His promises, but you see between all of that and you, you see the struggle and the weakness of your own flesh, of your own strength, of your own life. And your mind is just, how do I ever get through that? How would I do all that? How can we cross the Jordan? Is your response. As it was for them, so it is for us. We must step out in faith and put our feet in the water. Meaning, you have to go forward in faith. Deny yourself. Sanctify yourself. Be set apart. Just stop looking to the old junk and the old ways and this world and all that junk. Just come out of all that and fix your eyes on the ark. God, the presence of God. Recognize who you have with you and in you. And now go forward into it. By faith, believe Him in that area. Believe Him in those things that you encounter. Look at your Jordan this morning. Look at that which you believe keeps you from moving into all God has for you. Now don't answer out loud, but what is that? If I go around and ask you and say, well, what keeps you from all God would have for you? I wonder what you'd say. Well, Pastor, and you might begin to name some things. I don't know, things that you sincerely believe. You look to the weakness of your own flesh. You look at the shame, a shame maybe you have over some past sin. Why would God want to bless me like that? How could He bless me? Look what I've done. Look what I've been through. Maybe you look at some abuse that you suffered. I'm damaged goods now or something, or how could I ever come into all that God would have? Look what's happened to me and what I've been involved in or whatever. How do they cross over? None of those things have any bearing on them getting through. The only calling? Get free from all the junk of this world that's holding you back. Be set apart from it and look unto me now, He says, and get your feet wet. Trust me, have faith in me, go forward in me, is the call. But you got to do it. You got to put your feet in the water, meaning with our eyes off all that stuff, we put our eyes on Jesus and go forward in faith. Believe, trust in what God has said. There's your past. Do you still feel like that? How do I overcome my past? What I've done, what I've been involved in, what's happened to me? Believe what God says about your past. That your sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. That He's begun a good work in you and He's going to complete it. That He's going to present you someday faultless before the throne. He sees that. He knows that. He's not ruling us out because of it. Don't do it to ourselves. By faith, believe what He says about your failures, your sin. Those things don't shock Him or turn Him off or keep Him from working. So have faith in what He says. Look at your past through His eyes. Look at your sin through His eyes. Look what He's declared about you and all those things. When they get out there in the water and they're halfway across and they stop and all the water starts backing up and all the people start going through, what's between the people and the water? the ark. The same for you. All that sin, all that failure, all that past, get Jesus between you and it. Put the ark of God, His presence, His promises, His power, His forgiveness, put Jesus between you and all that stuff that's been keeping you and that you think wants to destroy you and hold you back. Get Jesus between you and it. Go to the cross. Claim the cross. Claim the blood. Remember, claim the scriptures and what He says about those things. Get Jesus. Get the ark between you and all that stuff. And you'll cross over into what He has for you. Again, not a problem-free life, but a life lived in all those things with His power, with His presence, with His promises. Get Jesus between you and Him. Get His sufficiency. Get all those things about Him between you and what you think is keeping you from all that. God is teaching the people here the lesson of faith. The waters were going to part before they got to the place where they needed to cross. Then they're going to have to step into the water first, it says. Their feet were going to have to get wet. They're going to have to step out and trust God in this whole thing. But once they did, once they were standing in the Jordan, then the water stopped. You know, God will often call us to step out in faith and get our feet wet. Again, not on something I come up with, but on when He has promises, His when He calls us to do these things, it often involves us, then, okay, God, I'm going to step out and trust You in this. You've told me. You've shown me. I have Your word on this. I have Your promise. I'm going forward. You've probably found this, if you've walked with the Lord very long at all, is God will often put our circumstances right there in front of us and let us stare at them a while. Until we come to the understanding that in and of ourselves, I'm not going to overcome this. I can't get through this. I don't see a way out. Oh, we hit our head against the wall a few times. We try to climb it, get around it, whatever. But often He'll let us just stand or sit right there and stare at that circumstance till we come to understand, God, if You don't do this, it ain't going to happen. But it's in His love He wants us to learn that lesson, the lesson of faith, that we will never lean on our own selves, that we can find in Him what we're looking for. We must take risk of faith if we're ever to see the river parted. Are you facing a river? Is there something keeping you from all God would have for you? You got to take a step of faith, looking unto who He is, if you're going to see the river parted. I wonder if that applies to you this morning. I wonder if there's something you've been saying that this thing's in my life and I can never experience all God would have. And I know He's speaking. Because He wants every one of us to live on the west side. He wants us to live in the promised land, that Spirit-filled life. And He hurts when we don't. Now, herein lies a really wonderful principle in this. The stepping out into the water that they need to take, meaning putting their faith into action, it's what they're going to need to continue to have victories in the land they're coming into. There will be battles and all up ahead. And if they're going to have victory there, they must have faith. Might as well learn it right at the get-go. Let me teach you this one as we even come into the land, as we even cross over the Jordan. Let me teach you the role of faith because you're going to need this each and every step. So let's go ahead and settle the issue right now. That's in essence what He's doing. You know, He says, I'm going to do this for you, Joshua, so they'll know you're listening to Me. And I want them to know these things. And that is so important. That this is how it's going to work. So He teaches them right off the bat about this. Look at verse 10 with me. Good stuff. Good stuff. Verse 10, and Joshua said, by this you shall know. By what? By how He does this. By the putting your feet in, putting the water back, looking to the ark, looking to His presence and getting through. By this you shall know what? That the living God is among you. Do you want to experience God more? Then step out in faith more. People say they want to be people of faith, but they never want to get their feet wet. We walk by sight, but we want to be known as people of faith. It doesn't work that way. But if you want to know the living God, then listen and respond. And then what? And that he will without fail drive out from before you, here they are, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. What does all that mean? Those are all the inhabitants of the land that they're going to be coming up against. That's all the things out in their future. I'm doing this, he says, so you might know that you have the living God among you, and all that I'm about to do is meant to assure you in all the things you're going to be facing. Let my work today in you, he says, assure you that I'll be with you tomorrow and I'll be working on your behalf no matter what you come up against. They and we must learn that lesson. He didn't bring you this far to bail on you now. And then let me conclude with what we started with. Look at verse 14. So much here, isn't there? It's just such a good challenge, such important. Verse 14, so it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still. What do you know? He promised it, and he did it. And rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city which is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, the Dead Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priest, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Picture the priest now once again standing there in the middle of the Jordan. The waters piled up high behind them, dry ground under them, the people crossing over dry ground. Picture that scene. What do you see? As you look at the priest's faces, as you look at the people's faces, I see a whole bunch of smiles. And I see a whole bunch of glorifying God. Wow, look what God is doing. Look what God has done. Look what God is doing. And a whole lot of both of smiles and glorifying God. The same is offered to us this morning. Our part, truly surrender all. Getting our eyes on Jesus and nobody, nothing else. And stepping out in faith, desiring all God has for us. Not settling for less than a life lived in the promises and the fullness of the Spirit. Happy are the people who have wet feet. I invite the worship team up to wrap us up this morning. If you need a prayer, there'll be prayer partners over here by the prayer room. They love to pray with you. Prayer matters. We have a prayer hearing, prayer answering God. Go get prayer this morning. Is God speaking to you about what's been in your mind in the way of what would be moving into all he has for you? I pray this morning you'll find us go out of here and just doing just those things. Getting our eyes off us, off of this world, separating ourselves, looking unto him, and then moving forward in faith. My dear Kathy, years ago, gave me a little picture. This little picture she put together involves a little figurine of this little guy that's got his hands upraised and everything. I won't tell you about how that came about, but she took it and she put together this whole little picture here. Shows this little guy standing with his hands raised up, and she got some water here. She put this whole thing together. And over it, she gave it to me, and it says here, happy are the people who have wet feet. And it's got this scripture. This sits on my dresser at home. And it's a reminder daily. Been some wet feet, but God has always been faithful. Always been faithful. He'll be faithful to you. Happy are the people who have wet feet. Well, let's pray. Father, as we began, so we end with that challenge, that call, this awesome privilege that there's a place of closeness to you. There's a place of that Spirit-filled life. There's that life you've called us to have, of living in all of your promises. Lord, you set that before us, and you're setting it before us today. And Lord, I'm wondering if there's someone today that needs to cross over the Jordan, to quit coming short of all you'd have, to quit getting ripped off by the things of the past, or looking around, or looking inward. Lord, how I pray. Help, Lord, help each to come out of and be set apart from all the junk and the old ways of thinking and the effects of the past and everything else. And to right now set their eyes and their hearts upon you, your very presence and all that that brings with it. And Lord, then help, Lord. Help us, Lord, for each one that needs to, Lord. Help us get our feet wet. Help us just go forward, step out, move forward in what you're calling us to, Lord. And the awesome thing is, we can know you that way. There is that land of walking in full fellowship with you. So Lord, help us, Lord. I just pray, truly thank you. Truly happy are the people who have wet feet. All this we set before you, and we thank you for. In Jesus' name, amen.